Well, I welcome you again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in again. If you are steadfast and faithful to studying God's Word, I appreciate you and I admire you because I know what discipline it takes for you to do that. With the enemy out there fighting you and the world fighting you and the flesh fighting you, and you're still studying God's Word. God bless you for that. And if you're not studying here, be studying somewhere, but get in that book and study God's Word. Amen. It's God's words that matter. It's God's words. And in these last days that we're in, they're even becoming more relevant and more important to our walk. Not that they weren't important before, but because of the way the world is forming for the last days and all the things coming in that are going to be present at the last days, of the last days, and God's Word going out, and everybody trying to get rid of God's words. They always have, but they got a government and they got a world system that's behind them now, and all the God haters are getting in charge, and that's what's going on. But not us, not me, not you, and not the people that love the Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth, right? That's right. Let's get back into our study. The letter R, the second letter R in the ABCs of Christian Growth series, and it's for resurrection and what our Bibles have to say concerning the truth and the doctrine of resurrection. We've been talking about quite a bit having to do with it. I think we're about 11 studies into this lesson itself, and today will be the 12th. And we're talking about spiritual resurrection. We began that on our last study, and we talked a little bit about spiritual resurrection. And what we did talk about was the power that accomplishes spiritual resurrection. And we found out that the things that accompany or accomplish spiritual resurrection and make it possible or make it happen, the power behind it, is the power of God. The power of God. I mean, that doesn't take a scholar to know that. We know that there are things that men can do, and there are things that only God can do. And we know that for sure. But man would never admit that he couldn't. That there's some things that God does that he can't do. That's why he's building these stupid $1 trillion rockets and sending out in space where a man can't breathe and going out there looking for something. They don't even know what they're looking for. They're just going. They're just spending everybody's money and just going up there. And putting everybody's life at risk and going out and have killed people in the past, sending them up there saying that they're accomplishing something. And what have they accomplished? What's been accomplished? Name it. What's been accomplished? What has it done for mankind? Has it stopped starvation? Has it stopped mass murder? Has it stopped God haters? Has it stopped has it stopped all the wickedness in the world, the homosexual and the sodomites? And has it made man treat man better? Has it stopped any wars? I mean, what's it done? Going out there trying to find out what they can do to spit in God's face and tell God, we don't need you. We can do things on our own. And you know something? The Lord just laughs. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He laughs at this ignorance. And that's what he calls it too, is ignorance. It's ignorant to try to do anything without God's help. And to even exist without God's help. I mean, how was your walk without the Lord? I know mine wasn't very pleasant, and God's grace, man, if it wasn't for God's grace and overlooking our ignorance and our foolishness and saving us anyway and bringing us to Him and reconciling us to Him, we'd be in trouble, big trouble, wouldn't we? And we was. But praise His wonderful name. Spiritual resurrection is what we're talking about, and it takes God's power for that to happen. God's power, the power of God. What else? Well, the power of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ. And what else? The power of God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us and coming and living and indwelling us. And His power. And what else? The power of the Word of God. That's something that all, even your Christian hierarchy, so-called, all your Christian hierarchy and the smart guys out there in the religious realm and in Christendom that claim themselves to be scholars and knowers of the Word of God, great knowers of the Word of God, they belittle God's Word. They change it. They take the power, they destroy the power of God's Word. And they do it to their own people and their own flock and do it to God's people. And shame on them. And they're going to account for it. Just don't let that be you, brothers and sisters. Don't sit up under a man that tells you there's mistakes in God's Word. Don't listen to a word he's got to say. Because he ain't got nothing to say. If he says God is not sovereign enough or not God enough and his power is not stable enough to put his words in a book and keep them forever like he wrote and he said that liveth and abideth forever. If God can't keep his words good, what makes you think that he can keep his promises to you any good? He's the one that says he's going to keep you out of hell. If he can't keep his words, just a few pages with black and white words in between two covers, if he can't keep a book perfect, how's he going to save you and keep you out of hell? Don't listen to them nuts out there that tell you there's something wrong with the Word of God and try to correct it. Get away from them. Go find you a little country church somewhere where somebody's preaching the grace of God and loving Jesus Christ and honoring that book. When they're honoring that book, you can trust them because they're disciplined and they're sacrificing for the Lord. You can trust them. You can tell. You can tell. But the power of God, we're talking about spiritual resurrection. It takes the power. What power does it take to accomplish spiritual resurrection? The power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God, the Holy Ghost, and the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Going into today's study, we're going to talk about facts. Talk about some facts concerning spiritual resurrection. Well, what do you mean? Well, first of all, it takes place immediately. That is a fact. Spiritual resurrection is not a progressive thing. If you are either resurrected spiritually or you are dead in your sins. Your spirit is either alive or it is dead. On, off, black, white, north, south, one or the other. It is either you're either saved or you are not saved. You are either under God's graces and His blessings and are saved by His righteousness, or you are damned and under the wrath of God and on your way to hell. One or the other. That's what the Bible says. But concerning spiritual resurrection, that takes place when somebody believes on Christ and believes the Word of God and the gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline gospel in this dispensation is what we are saved by and what God is saving people by, is it takes place immediately. Immediately. As soon as somebody believes. Immediately. It's not a progressive thing. You don't go to purgatory. You don't work your way to heaven and do something bad and lose 3 points and do something good and gain 5. And you're not 3 ahead or 2 behind or this, that, and the other. It's nothing like that at all. You're either saved or you're not saved. One or the other. That's the way the gospel works. That's the way spiritual resurrection works. John chapter 5, let's read some scripture. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear, and they that hear shall live. Shall live. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 through 16, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, get this, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, the things that that flesh wants, those nasty, fleshy things, mortify, kill them, put them to death. Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Does God the Holy Ghost dwell in you? Did you ask the Lord to save you? If you asked the Lord to save you, he did. And if he did, then he gave you, he sent God the Holy Ghost indwells you. He came into your body and he indwells you now, just like he has every believer. But ye have received the Spirit of adoption. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You got nothing to be scared of. You ain't got to worry about going to hell anymore. But ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is no longer a God of judgment to us, even though Jesus Christ will judge us, but he's judging us under completely different circumstances. We'll get into that some other time. But along with this, where it says adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that is a sympathetic term for father, like daddy, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy. We call our Heavenly Father Daddy now, because he is our daddy. We've been born and adopted into his family. We are in the family of God now. And the Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see how that scripture laid out? You either are or you are not a son of God. It happens immediately. We're talking about facts concerning spiritual resurrection. It takes place immediately. All right, what else? Well, Romans chapter 10, very popular Pauline verses concerning the gospel of the grace of God and being born again, spiritually resurrected. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call upon the name of the Lord? Did you mean it? Then according to the Word of God and what we just read, when you called upon his name, what did he do? He saved you. That's absolutely right. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you ask the Lord to save you, he saved you. Look what you are now. if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Spiritual resurrection. There's a part of you that's alive now. Your spirit has been awakened. God the Holy Ghost dwells in you. You're able to understand and communicate with the Lord now because you can approach Him. And you can talk with God now. And God hears you. It happens immediately. What are we talking about? We're talking about facts concerning spiritual resurrection. It takes place immediately. Immediately. The Bible says in one other place, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. Notice the Bible said, now are we the sons of God. Right now. Not later. Not 3 points up, 2 points down, not confessing to a priest, not purgatory, not works. You can't do anything to please God concerning giving you eternal life. We do things to please God because we have eternal life, and because we are born into His family, and because we are now the sons of God, and we want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. You see? Completely different scenario. You're either lost or you're saved. Now, concerning spiritual resurrection, it takes place immediately. Immediately. As soon as somebody, anybody, whosoever, calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved, the Bible says. What else? Well, concerning spiritual resurrection, it gives eternal life. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's what this is all about. Living and dying. That's why Jesus came. Was to reconcile us to God and give us life back. Because we died when Adam died. The human race died when Adam died. His spirit died and his seed died and all of his descendants, spiritually, are dead. And that's what it's all about. It gives eternal life. Not just life in this body. We have life. I'm breathing. I can draw a breath. And my physical body is alive. But I know that it's going to die. But I cannot die now. My spirit has been awakened. And when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going to be with the Lord. I have His word on that. I have it in writing, as a matter of fact. And so do you. And we're reading it. But it gives eternal life. It doesn't give you points with God. And it doesn't make you better than somebody else when it comes to religious things. And it doesn't make you Mr. Somebody or Miss Nothing. It gives eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Three promises in that verse. He that heareth my word, have you heard God's word? And believeth on him that sent me. That's Jesus talking. Did you believe on Christ that word told you about? And did you ask him to save you? Then he did. All right? Promises to you. You have right now, presently, eternal life, everlasting life. Believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. What else? And shall not come into condemnation. You ain't got to worry about it no more. God's not going to condemn you. God does not condemn you. God will tear your hind end up for being a disobedient son and a disobedient daughter as far as being a son of God and being in his family. But that's a whole different scenario. There's a difference in being they've fallen down in a plane and fallen out of a plane. What else? Well, you're passed from death unto life. You don't have to worry about death no more. You're not going to die. Your body will die if the Lord doesn't come first, but he's going to give that back to you in perfect state, a perfect eternal, immortal body that's fashioned like unto his glorious body one day. You don't even have to worry about your body. It's going to go to sleep. It's going to decay, and I don't understand all that, but that's what the Bible says, and God knows that it's true. He said it, and Christians don't die. Their body goes to sleep. Read it. When they leave their body goes to sleep. And they fall asleep. That's what the Bible, it doesn't say they die. It says they fall asleep. Talking about the body. It goes into some kind of sleep state, even though it decays and everything else. I don't understand it. But that's what the Bible says. And then when the Lord comes, and he says, come up hither, and he calls those bodies out of the ground and gives you back that body. I don't know, you're going to be with the Lord, and somehow or another, you're going to be covered in heaven until you get that body back. Unless the Lord changes it when you... Well, it goes in the ground. The Lord changes it when he comes back. That's what the scriptures say. But verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath... It gives eternal life. What are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual resurrection and that it... facts concerning it. It takes place immediately. And it gives eternal life. What else? Well, John chapter 3, you know this verse. You know these verses. John chapter 3 and verse 14 through 16. And it says, and as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Why was the Son of Man lifted up? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It gives eternal life. Jesus did not buy temporary life. He bought eternal life for those that are going to be reconciled to the Lord. And that's anybody, anybody. Not a certain chosen, not the elect. Anybody, whosoever, anybody, anybody, anybody. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have it. Don't you want eternal life? Have you asked the Lord for it? Have you believed on Christ? Guess what? You have it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, past tense. Never happen again. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What are we talking about? We're talking about facts concerning spiritual resurrection and that it gives eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the world is looking for. Isn't that what you've been looking for before you were saved? Running around here and there and vitamins here and exercise there and eat vegan here and forget all about it. Let's just live and drink and party and die and go to hell. And then still that small voice saying to you, how can I stay alive? How am I going to stay alive? How can I get eternal life? And the Lord settled that matter. He settled it. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 through 4 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead." The Bible tells us to reckon ourselves dead unto the flesh. Our bodies are dead. We're dead to sin. We're alive unto God. Listen to what the Bible says. "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid." How can you be dead? I mean, is this a contradiction? He just said, "For ye are dead." And then he turned right around and said, "And your life, well, am I dead or am I alive?" Both. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." You see, we have eternal life. We have eternal life. This life that we now have in this body is temporal. It's temporal. Our souls are saved and they're separated from this dead corpse that we're carrying around. If you're born again, you're carrying around a dead corpse, man. That thing's dying. And it's going back to the grave. That's its goal. That's its destiny. It's going back to the dust. Unless the Lord comes and changes us while you're wearing it. But when he changes it, it's not going to be dead anymore. He's going to fashion it like unto his glorious body, an immortal body, a perfect body, a spiritual body, an immortal body. What else? Well, not only is it a fact that spiritual resurrection takes place immediately, and that, it gives eternal life, but it delivers from spiritual death. I mean, if the Lord gives you eternal life, then it must do away with spiritual death. You see that? Romans chapter 6, listen to what the Bible says. Romans chapter 6, these are all promises and things that the Lord has done for you when you were saved. You were spiritually resurrected. We're talking about resurrection. Your spirit has been resurrected if you're born again. It's been made alive. It's been quickened. It delivers from spiritual death. Romans chapter 6, let me read it to you, verse 8 through 13. "Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon." Now, what's he telling us right there? "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves." What's he saying? This is the way you need to think. "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." You're dead unto sin. You're spiritually alive. You're not dead anymore. You're dead unto sin. You're not a sinner anymore. You are a saint that sins when you sin. Big difference. That's a whole other study in itself. "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You see, you do good now on purpose because you're saved and because you love God and because you want to do the things that are pleasing to your Lord that has saved you and given you eternal life and awakened you and quickened you. And you're alive unto God. You want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight, so we no longer yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. I don't let my body sin anymore. I do sin, but when I do, the Lord has made provision for that, for His sons also. If we confess our sins, you fess up and tell God what the real truth is. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's for the child of God. That's not for the world. The world can confess their sins all they want to the priest and to the fellow that wears that funny hat and all that kind of stuff. They can do all they want to about that. God ain't listening to a bit of that. If they haven't come through His Son, Jesus Christ, and been washed in His blood and been born again, you're not a son. And if you're not a son, you don't get forgiveness. You get the wrath of God. You see that difference? Big difference there. Big difference. Big difference. It delivers from spiritual death. The Bible says it does. Well, what does? What delivers from spiritual death? Well, it's a fact concerning spiritual resurrection. Spiritual resurrection takes place immediately. It gives eternal life. And it delivers from spiritual death. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. We're reading God's word. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful how God put all these verses and all the different writers and the authors and put it all in a book over 15, just put it all together and mixed it all together so perfectly? What a wonderful, perfect book. And it doesn't do anything but just complement itself. And you can trust it. You ain't got to change an exclamation mark. You ain't got to change nothing. All you got to do is believe it. And study it, just like the Bible says. What else? And rightly divide it. Rightly, not wrongly. Rightly divide it, not wrongly divide it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. The Lord took care of our salvation and raising us from the dead from the very beginning of the problem to the very end of the problem. Who delivered us from so great a death. Your spiritual death. You're dying and going to hell. Eternal death. And doth deliver us. And not only has He saved us, but He saves us daily by God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us and saves us from the power of sin that tries to so easily beset us every day. He walks with us and He helps us through the while we have to be in this body and be in this filthy world and put up with all this stuff that we don't want to put up with, but we have to be here until the Lord says so. He helps us through all that. And then not only that, but who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. And not only that, but in whom we trust that will yet deliver us. In other words, He's going to finish it. He's going to come get us and get us completely out of sin an ungodliness and a wicked place that we're living in, and just completely get us out of the whole scenario of sin and unrighteousness, and we're going to be holy like Him, clean and righteous, and we're going to have minds of Christ and have bodies like unto His glorious body. Everything is going to be changed, and it's going to be like heavenly like, and like righteous like, and holy. It's not going to have anything to do with the stuff that we live in and among now. The Lord's taking care of it from the beginning all the way to the end. He has finished it. It delivers us from spiritual death, from the sentence of eternal death, from the sentence of the power of death. I mean, that sin can still kill you if you play around with it, right? And deliver us from the presence of sin. Get us completely out of it altogether, from the beginning to the end. It delivers from spiritual death. We're talking about some facts concerning spiritual resurrection. It takes place immediately. It gives eternal life. It delivers from spiritual death. Here's one other, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. That's us. That's us. And it says, blessed and holy you are, and you are going to be, and you are. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And we'll talk about that as we get on into our study here about resurrection, talking about the first resurrection. I think it's coming up, as a matter of fact, the topic pretty soon after we get out of this one that we're presently in, talking about the first resurrection. The first resurrection is talking about a period of time having to do with who is resurrected when and who is involved in the first resurrection. That's the resurrection you want to be involved in, is the first resurrection. Because the second resurrection is a bad one. That's the one that the second death has power on. If you're involved in the first resurrection and you're in the time period of the first resurrection that the Bible talks about, and we'll get into it, you'll understand it as we get into it, and you're involved in that, then the second death has no part, has no power over you. And what is the second death? The second death is being cast in the lake of fire for eternity. The second death. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You've been born again. You're not going to die. You've been made alive. Made alive. And you'll be, and you just haven't been finished up yet. Finished up. But what else? Let's talk about some more. Let's talk about one more. Well, it changes life. It changes life. What changes life? Spiritual resurrection. That's a fact. If you are spiritually resurrected, your life should be changed or changing somehow or another. Spiritual resurrection is powerful. It doesn't, it's not just words. Religion is a word, and some people's religion in this world, that some people, that everybody says you ought to respect everybody's religion. I don't respect no religion that does not do the person any good. Religion, if it's genuine, and it has to do with being affiliated with an almighty superpower, God Himself, then it ought to benefit me somehow. I know some people, I know some religions out there right now that I can name you, and the only thing that they have that they can claim is that they want to kill everybody else that don't believe what they believe. Is that beneficial to humanity? Is that godlike? Is that what God says? Is that real? It changes life. If you claim that you've had a spiritual resurrection, then spiritual is supernatural. And it ought to make supernatural changes in you. Changes that you could not make without it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, we read that just a while ago, but listen to it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, not in religion, not in all these other gods and blah, 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 in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Whether you know what they are and the changes, whether they have matured in you, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's what the Bible says. If you have been born again and you've been spiritually resurrected, then you are a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Now, whether they are matured in you yet, I mean, Christianity and walking with Christ and growing in Christ is a process. You start out as a babe, and you grow, and you learn the Word of God, and you learn about the things of God, and you grow, and you mature spiritually. It's a process. It's growing. You've been born again. You're a babe in Christ when you're born again, and you don't know anything about spiritual matters. You have to learn these things, and they have to be incorporated into your life, into your walk, into your spiritual resurrection. But you are changed. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Something has changed. Your desires are beginning to change. Your want-tos are changing. The things that affect you and your affections are drawn to are changing, or should be. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a precious verse. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It changes life. Spiritual resurrection. Spiritual resurrection. Amen. All right, well, there's a few more, but we're going to stop right there. I don't want to rush this thing. I don't want to rush it. What are we talking about? Well, the new topic that we're talking about concerning resurrection in our ABC study is facts concerning spiritual resurrection. There are facts. There are doctrinal facts concerning spiritual resurrection. You can't just say, I've been resurrected spiritually. There has to be some facts that go along with it. It takes place immediately. According to the scriptures, if you're talking about a scriptural spiritual resurrection, it takes place immediately. It's not long and drawn out and take your whole life and good works and all that blobbity blobbity blah. Nothing to do with that. It takes place immediately. Spiritual resurrection. Also, it gives eternal life. You don't have to worry about eternal life. If you've been born again and you've believed on Christ and you have trusted Him and just obeyed what the Scripture says concerning being born again, then you have eternal life. God has given you eternal life and granted it to you and given it to you. It is a possession that you own now, eternal life. And He's not going to take it away. It's not up to be taken away. It can't be taken away. It's eternal. It's not eternal if it's temporal, if somebody can take it from you. If it's eternal life, nobody can take it from you. And God's surely not going to take it from you if it cost Him His Son to give it to you. It gives eternal life. And it delivers from spiritual death. You don't have to worry about the second death. You don't have to worry about dying. You don't have to worry about being separated from God. You don't have to worry about the hell and the lake of fire. You don't have to worry about all that. You don't have to worry about the wrath of God being upon you. There is no condemnation on you now. God does not condemn you. You're His son. You disobey Him and you get out of line, He's going to treat you like a good father would. He's going to beat the tar out of you. But He's not going to throw you out of the family. You're a family. You're a son of God. You've been born again. You've been spiritually resurrected. It delivers from spiritual death. And what else? A fact about spiritual resurrection is it changes life. Your life ought to be changing somehow. If you're listening to this, it is changing because nobody studies the Word of God and disciplines themselves to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God sincerely and genuinely, that's not born again. There's people study it for philosophy and trying to find ways of condemning it and finding problems in it and showing how smart and elegant their intellect is and blah, 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 and all that sort of business. But if you're born again, it's changing you. If you have been spiritually resurrected, it's changing you. And it's changing you for the better. And you're going to love the person that Christ is turning you into. So let Him. Let Him turn you into that person. It's an eternal change. And it's going to end up holy and beautiful. And you're going to love the person Christ turned you into. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you the scriptures for today, huh? All right. First one is John chapter 5 and verse 25. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 through 16. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 through 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And the last one for today's lesson is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And that's the last one for today. We're going to get into some more on our next one and continue in this topic. We're talking about resurrection. We're talking about facts concerning spiritual resurrection. Not only it takes place immediately, it gives eternal life, it delivers from spiritual death, and it changes life, but it ultimately brings immortality. It delivers from Satan's power, and it changes one's hopes, desires, values, and even your outlook. And we'll go over those on our next time together, okay? So go over them scriptures and study those things and get in God's Word. I know you do. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love God's Word. Read over those again. And if you want this material in writing or you want it on your computer or any of that, you can go to barnhouseministries.com at Barnhouse Ministries, and you can download every bit of this stuff. And it's all in writing right there for you. I love you with Christ's love, and God bless you for loving our Lord. Boy, it's going to be good to see Him face to face and adore Him, isn't it? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.